Had some technical difficulties here today. Hopefully we'll find a way to fix those in time to bring on our upcoming guest, Elias Davidson. Elias Davidson is one of my favorite people in the 9/11 Truth Movement. He's been living in Iceland for a long time, although I understand he may have just moved to Germany. I hope that we'll be able to reach him because I think I have his old phone number from Iceland. But Elias is supposed to be calling in here, so we will be getting in touch with him shortly. I hope we are having a few issues here, but we'll try and get those patched up. Bring on Elias. Elias Davidson is a human rights activist. I always call him an Icelandic human rights activist, but he's in Germany now. I don't know what that makes him. Anyway, he's one of the really brave people who, you know, stood up and they, you know, he gets in the face of folks who need that kind of treatment. He recently wrote a wonderful letter to the Los Angeles Times to a certain individual named Josh Meyer, who wrote a story about the recent trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, or KSM. KSM, of course, is being blamed for 9/11. He's the alleged mastermind of 9/11. And a lot of us, including Elias Davidson, have noticed that this show trial that they're putting KSM through is just theater of the absurd. And so Elias Davidson wrote to Josh Meyer at the Los Angeles Times and said, I find the accounts of KSM's so-called trial that appear from time to time in the media extremely funny. I cannot help it. I just laugh when I imagine the surreal scene of this trial. And I hope that one day, inshallah, someone will stage it in real theater. I find it, for example, slightly funny that a person who got an engineering degree from a U.S. college cannot properly speak and write English. I also find it funny that a notorious womanizer who likes whiskey puts on a black turban to impress the tribunal of his deep religious faith. I would be thrilled to read the transcript of KSM interrogating the judge who, acting under orders, played the meek, gentle American. So he goes on to say that I have not yet found out whether the comedy served to us, thanks to the Associated Press and other respected sources, is produced by KSM himself, by someone impersonating him, or staged by the Pentagon in order to amuse us all. In that case, it's really KSM. I think he should be hired to sell U.S. foreign policy to the unbelievers. After all, if he succeeded to convince millions, even President Bush, that he is the mastermind of 9/11, he may even convince Palestinians that the U.S. loves them. I wonder whether you also find KSM a good salesman, or at least a comedian of sorts. After all, you were there, isn't it? So that's Elias Davidson's letter to Josh Meyer of the L.A. Times, who is covering this show trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, or KSM, in Gitmo. And, I appreciate somebody who tells it like it is. And Elias Davidson has been doing that for some time. He's well known for his work investigating the evidence, or lack thereof, that any of the alleged 19 hijackers were on board the alleged attack planes on 9/11. He has done that research and then endlessly stressed the fact that there is no such evidence. There's no evidence of any official passenger list, of any boarding passes, of any CATV videos, or of any testimony from the airline employees who would have boarded these 19 alleged hijackers had they, in fact, ever gotten on any of those planes. The fact that no such evidence has been produced, despite the trial in the media, which is pointing towards the guilt of these people without any evidence, suggests that probably they weren't on these planes. The whole thing is a hoax, and these people are being slandered. I don't have my screen in front of me today, so we're going to have to just hope that we're in touch with Elias. I'm just going to have to ask him periodically if he's there yet, so let's go ahead and try it. Hey, Elias, are you there yet? Hello? I guess not. So we're still working on getting in touch with him. Maybe I can tell you a little bit about some of his interests. And biography. Elias Davidson was born in Palestine in 1941. His parents were born in Germany, but he had to emigrate to Palestine because of the Nazi persecution of the Jews. And I guess 1941 was a pretty tough time to be a Jewish in Germany. He and his parents lived during Elias's first years in Baqa, which is a neighborhood of Jerusalem. At that time, 1941, Jews, Christians, and Muslims were living peacefully side by side there. And he would always remember that. He ended up apparently not wanting to stay there. He lived in France, Germany, the U.S., finally settled in Iceland, and now this summer, he apparently moved to Germany, which means that I hope he calls in from Germany, because I think we're still trying to call him in Iceland. So he worked for many years in Iceland. He settled there in 1962 as a computer programmer and systems engineer. He returned to his favorite field, music, in 1983, got a diploma as a piano teacher in Switzerland, and returned to Iceland to work as a musical director, church organist, composer, and arranger. Worked in music all that time, and I believe still does. And also, and what he's best known for, of course, is his human rights activism. And that is where the 9/11 Truth work comes in. Elias Davidson is the co-founder of the Association for Iceland-Palestine. And he is a supporter of a democratic state in the whole of historic Palestine for Muslims, Christians, and Jews, a state without any apartheid religious or ethnic preferences as they have now. It's now currently a Jewish state, and the people who live there, citizens who are not Jews, are second-class citizens, and so he wants to put an end to that, have one Palestinian state for everybody, regardless of religion or ethnicity. He's thus an anti-Zionist, believes the existence of the Jewish state is incompatible with human rights norms, and he has written extensively on human rights, multinational corporations, the IMF, the World Bank, the Palestine Zionism, 9/11, economic sanctions, international law, and so on and so forth. He's a very well-read, broadly educated individual, and I will be very happy when we do get him on the air.
Hello.
Hey, is that Elias?
Yes.
Hey, well, good to hear you. I thought I was going to have to be introducing you for 2 hours.
No.
Yes, it's great to have you back, Elias. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Excellent. I understand you moved from Iceland to Germany recently.
Sure.
What brought that about?
Oh, the private reasons. Nothing really extraordinary. The weather in Iceland and other private reasons. It's nothing really. Nothing to talk about publicly. It's really not important.
Okay. No. Okay.
But well, we are continue to work on my issues, you know, 9/11 and other things.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yes, I understand you. You're keeping up with things. I recently, just before you called in, I read your letter to Josh Meyer of the Los Angeles Times.
Yes.
About that crazy kangaroo court they're running down in Gitmo.
Yes.
That was very, very well phrased. How do you think they can continue to put forth this official story when we know that so many aspects of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's biography don't match with what they're telling us?
Well, I believe that the United States government and the elite just are trying to buy time. You see, as long as the media are continuing to peddle this kind of junk, and as long as people are still reading and reading newspapers and watching TV, most people will not move and do anything about it. So they are trying to buy time, and you see, there are already 7 years, and during these 7 years, a lot of people got rich by the because of the war on terror. So when these people are getting their pockets full, they don't mind that people will slowly find the truth, but then they will get rich and nobody's going to get them.
Well, right now, many people in the United States are far from getting rich. They're starting to get poorer.
Well, of course, the majority of the people, but I'm talking about those who really got rich because of the security industry and all that.
That's right. There are very powerful special interest lobbies that have made billions on the so-called war on terror.
Yes, and I am also worried about one aspect is that I am concerned that some people of the U.S. elite are going to blame Jews for everything which has gone wrong in America, like Hitler did at that time. As you remember, Hitler tried to solve the problem in Germany, the class problem, the class struggle, by deflecting the wrath of the public toward Jews from those who really run the country. And it appears to me that part of the U.S. elite is toying with the idea of blaming the Jews for 9/11, blaming the Jews for the banking problems, blaming the Jews to have hijacked the American foreign policy. and they are using the different Jewish lobbies as an argument to bring out this charge.
Interesting. You know, I haven't seen a lot of that among elites, but there are a few people in the 9/11 Truth Movement who think along these lines. I actually had one of them on the radio briefly yesterday for 1 hour, a guy named Mike Delaney, who runs ProThink. And he's I argued with him during that hour because he did seem to be drifting in the direction of blaming Jews as Jews for 9/11, which I agree is a very dangerous thing. Substituting Jews for Muslims as a scapegoat will obviously not solve anything.
Yes. Well, basically, I'm concerned that this is one of the ways which the U.S. elite might wish to use in order to exempt itself from being brought to the heretic chair. They say, "Oh, the Jews deceived us. The Jews manipulated us. The Jews this. The Jews that." You see what I mean?
Well,
however,
I don't think Bush and Cheney will be able to use that argument very effectively, since they were at the top of the chain of command.
Well, of course, I don't think that basically they could do it, but that there might be an attempt to do that.
Right. Well, it's, you know, part of the reason that there's that sort of discourse here is that there is such a strong pro-Israel lobby that many people do resent it once they wake up to the fact that it exists. And I think we're hitting the break, so we'll be back in a moment. This is Kevin Eric with Elias Davidson on Truth Jihad Radio. Stay tuned.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Back to Truth Jihad Radio, where we come together for 9/11 truth and truth in general every weekend, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time, right here on We the People Radio Network. Today I'm talking with Elias Davidson. He's one of my favorite 9/11 truth activists, did much of his work in Iceland, is now relocated to Germany, and is still pushing the European community towards waking up on 9/11. And Elias, before the break, we were just talking about your fears that the 9/11 perpetrators, or at least the high perpetrators, may try to blame Jews for 9/11, which, of course, would be a pretty huge switch from having been blaming Muslims all this time. But it wouldn't necessarily be an improvement. In fact, it, you know, who knows? It could even get worse. What do you think about this recent case up in Canada, where Stéphane Dion, the candidate for Prime Minister of the Liberal Party, just tried to fire or ask a candidate named Leslie Hughes to step down because this, Leslie Hughes had talked about allegations that Israeli businesses had advanced knowledge of 9/11, which actually they did, apparently. There was one large business that moved out and broke its lease a week before the attacks. It seems to me that with this sort of thing, it's really important that we get the full truth and a real investigation out there, or we'll get these kinds of, you know, attempts to blame this or that group.
Well, let us. Your question is basically twofold. The question is whether any Israelis had advanced knowledge. My working hypothesis is that some Israeli groups were involved as a subcontractor for the U.S. in the events of 9/11. Right. In some respect, this is a working hypothesis. I don't have any proof about that. There might be, as you said, foreknowledge or even participation in some way. However, I don't think this is really the main issue at that point. I think that the instigators and those who pushed for 9/11 were the U.S. elite, whoever they are. Now, and the other question is, you mentioned the decision by the Liberal Party's chairman to fire one of the representatives, one of the candidates. Well, basically, what happened is that in every country of the world, especially in NATO countries, there is an unwritten or maybe a written directive that you are not supposed to discuss 9/11. You are not supposed to look for the truth. This explains why every single government of NATO countries has refused to ask questions. The thing is that if the truth will be revealed on 9/11, the problem is that NATO might disintegrate, because NATO is held together on the assumption that there is a new enemy in the world, namely the global Islamic conspiracy of terrorism. And if you show that this global conspiracy does not exist, NATO has completely lost its raison d'être, because there is no enemy anymore.
Well, what about Russia?
Well, Russia does not threaten the West. Russia is defending its own integrity. It doesn't threaten anybody. It doesn't have the military power to threaten the West in any way. So basically, the decision was made, as I see it, around 1990 or even before, that there must be some replacement enemy for the Soviet Union. And this replacement enemy was designated as the Islamic terrorist conspiracy. So this is why governments, or why people who want to reach a government position in NATO countries, have to obey the directive not to discuss 9/11.
I think you're probably right, as do people who try to teach in U.S. universities, at least in some cases, as I learned from painful experience. I think you're right about that, that they needed a designated enemy to replace the Cold War enemy, and that's probably the biggest single reason for 9/11 and the bogus war on terror.
May I add that the rehearsal for 9/11 was already taking place in 1993, where the FBI cooperated in placing a bomb in the World Trade Center.
That's right.
So we see already at that time efforts of creating false flag operations. So basically the policy, I think, of designating the Islamic world, the Islamic terrorist threat, came already around the 1990-91 or so, and it evolved through these years until the preparation and the implementation of 9/11. And then it continued through different other so-called terrorist acts in London, Madrid, Bali, and all the other so-called terrorist plots which we have been popping up every second day in the newspapers, which are probably all of them part of this campaign.
They do have many suspicious aspects. Every one of those really big terrorist attacks seems to have the telltale signs of the false flag inside job scenario. And how about this latest bombing in Pakistan at the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad? Did you think that was probably the same thing? Because it happened right after the Pakistani government said that it would no longer tolerate the U.S. incursion on their territory.
Well, basically, I have a rule of thumb. I say the following. Normally, real terrorists normally are acting in conjunction with a political movement. I mean, if we take the terrorism of the Hamas in Palestine, Hamas is a political movement which also commits terrorist acts or endorses or even encourages terrorist acts like suicide bombings. But basically, it's a political movement. The same thing applies to the PKK in Turkey, the Kurdish organization, which is basically a political movement with an armed fraction. Now, these are real terrorist attacks by real people who are fighting for a certain cause. Now, the most of the other cases which we have been confronting since 9/11 are not claimed by any real organization. They are either claimed by some nebulous kind of Al-Qaeda or nebulous kind of associations which nobody really knows whether they exist or whether they are just a front of some intelligence services. So the presumption should be that any terrorist act which is not claimed by a bona fide organization with a clear hierarchy and with a clear political and purpose, political aims, should be presumed to be organized by some intelligence service. This must be the presumption, unless it is proved beyond reasonable doubt that it was a bona fide terrorist attack.
Well, that's a very good point. And one of the things that has really annoyed me about the way the American people have been misled about 9/11 is that they have been taught to believe that the reason that these Muslim extremists would carry out such an apparently senseless and counterproductive attack from their point of view, because obviously it's not going to get the U.S. out of the Middle East, it'll just get the U.S. deeper into the Middle East, but the American people have been told and brainwashed that these Muslims are such crazy, fanatical, destructive people that they will just destroy things for the sake of destroying them without any strategic purpose whatsoever. It's just maddening. Anyway, we'll be back in a bit. This is Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Elias Davidson, the European human rights researcher and activist, and a 9/11 researcher par excellence. We'll be back in a moment.
Back to the people. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
I told you before, you put it on my door. Don't give me that brother. The priest on the phone, don't leave me alone. So don't give me that
brother. Welcome back to Truth Jihad Radio. I'm Kevin Barrett on the web at barrettforcongress.us. And today I'm talking with Elias Davidson, one of my favorite human rights activists and 9/11 activists. We were just talking about the way that real terrorists, and that includes military terrorists, because when you get right down to it, people who murder civilians when they're in uniform are not really doing anything that different from people out of uniform who do the same thing. But when you get down to it, terrorism always has a purpose. And when you get these random, senseless, massively destructive attacks like the demolition of the World Trade Center, with nobody coming forward to take credit for it that could possibly gain anything by it, you have to say that this is not what it appears to be. And I was saying before the break that it really irritates me that they've been able to sell this picture of Muslims as people enamored of senseless, suicidal violence with no strategic purpose, people who are driven by an utterly irrational hatred of our freedom. This image of these crazy Muslims who love to chop off heads, crash planes into buildings, blow things up, commit suicide for no particular purpose, it's quite annoying to have that kind of picture constantly shoved down our throats by the media.
I would like to add to this kind of discussion, because you are bringing the issue to Islamophobia.
Right.
Yes. You are now bringing the issue of incitement against Islam and against Muslims. Now, as I told you in our last discussion, there is no evidence at all that any Muslims participated in the crime of 9/11. There is no evidence that any Muslim, not the 19 Muslims designated by the FBI nor any other Muslims boarded any of the four flights which crashed on 9/11. Now, this fact, the absence of this evidence, is listed in an article which I wrote, which is very detailed and annotated, and can be found on my website. Now, the thing is, this article has not been debunked by anybody. Nobody has, until today, been able to present any proof that these 19 Arabs boarded these planes. Now, under these conditions, under these circumstances, what does that mean? It means that anybody who is accusing these 19 people, and more generally Muslims, for the crime of 9/11, is engaging in outrageous defamation. And such people are not only immoral, but they have been paving the way for a war against other countries. Now, if we remember, in the Nazi, in the times of the National Socialist government in Germany, the Nazi government, there was a guy called Julius Streicher. He edited a newspaper which was anti-Semitic, in which he blamed Jews for all the ills which befell Germany. This Julius Streicher was condemned to death at Nuremberg, not for any killings, just for incitement of anti-Semitism, which paved the way to the concentration camps. Now, I believe that all the media workers who are blaming Muslims for 9/11 without presenting any evidence are extremely dangerous people. And I urge Americans to establish a database of all these prostitutes who are, in fact, shamelessly accusing Muslims for 9/11 without producing any evidence. I think the names of all these prostitutes should be recorded on a database for a future tribunal in which these people would have to make account for the incitement.
Well, I agree. And I've said some things like that, and then I've been accused of advocating the mass execution of journalists, which I never did. I do not
say that journalists should be mass executed. I think they should be brought to account. I believe that journalists who are peddling lies against Muslims should pay a price for it. I don't mean a price like Julius Streicher. I mean a price like, for instance, to be judged that they cannot anymore work as journalists.
Well, I agree completely, and unfortunately, we're not seeing any real let-up of this campaign of Islamophobia in the U.S. media. In fact, just recently, many tens of millions of Islamophobic DVDs have been distributed to Americans in swing states by a group. Apparently, it's a combination of an Israeli group and an American Zionist group that are behind this. And it's quite disgusting. Even the New York Times has distributed many tens of thousands of these DVDs. It's called, Obsession, Radical Islam's War Against the West. And I find it bizarre that this is acceptable. Can you imagine in the U.S., even though you're worried that they may try to blame the Jews for 9/11, well, that hasn't happened yet. And, in fact, there's no way that anybody could publicly say, publicly advertise the title along the lines of Obsession, the Radical Jews War Against the West. If anybody tried to put that out there, they would quickly be shot down and they would never work in polite society again. And yet every major U.S. newspaper is willing to publish to distribute these Islamophobic DVDs.
Yes, I agree. Now, the thing is that from the point of view of political activism, I think it is extremely important that people who are really interested in keeping the U.S. sane and not going down the drain like the Third Reich should compile the names of all these people, of all individuals who are committing these outrageous incitement against Islam on the basis of false or fraudulent or fabricated evidence. So I believe that this is really one thing which should be done, and I think that every person who is daring to accuse Muslims for 9/11 should be put on notice by a formal letter from some organization that he is being warned if he's going to repeat that kind of incitement, he will be listed on the internet as one of the dangerous people who should be brought to court when things change.
That's a very good idea.
I think this should be done because if these people are not put on notice, they believe that they can do that with impunity. And I don't think they should do that. I think they should be put on notice because to accuse innocent people of a crime of mass murder is just not acceptable.
And I think that would probably be something that could be done by an international group. Here in the U.S., thus far, there hasn't really been a merger between the 9/11 truth movement and the groups like CAIR, C-A-I-R, that are charged with defending Muslims against this kind of bigotry. CAIR is afraid to come out for 9/11 truth. They're afraid to be ridiculed and attacked and persecuted worse than they already have been. But that would be an interesting project. I wonder how much support we could garner for it. Yes, I agree with you completely. I try to do this personally. When I see these things, I do my best to, as you do, to write letters to the people who need to hear this.
Well, basically, the main problem is to get the names of these people and a copy of what they said or wrote. It needs basically only one person to coordinate that kind of work and put it on the web.
Right. Right. Well, that's something I'll be thinking about after my congressional campaign is over.
Yes, I understand.
a new post. I think I won't be going back to the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth because it's in very capable hands with Lou Stoltenberg. So who knows? You know, maybe you and I could work together in trying to set something like that up.
I think it's very important, and I think Jewish organizations should also come along on the 9/11 movement in order to dispel all these suspicions.
Well, they need to, and you know, Elias, that's part of the problem here is that so many of the most visible Jewish organizations in the U.S. are on the wrong side of this issue. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, for example, has been notoriously radical in its attacks on the 9/11 truth movement. They're the ones who, you know, put up a big show in Congress trying to demonize the 9/11 truth movement by linking it to evil, violent jihadist websites. We'll be back to pick that up after the break. This is Kevin Barrett. I'm talking with Elias Davidson, leading European 9/11 truth researcher and human rights activist. We shall return. Stick around.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is the Truth Jihad Radio Show. I'm your host, Kevin Barrett. Come on right here at We the People Radio Network at WPPRN.com every Saturday and Sunday. Same time, same channel, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time. And I am on the web at BarrettForCongress.us. We do have a caller. We'll get the caller in a moment, but I just wanted to finish up this bit with my guest, Elias Davidson. Elias, we were talking about how we need more Jewish groups to come on board with 9/11 truth, and some of the most visible ones have actually made themselves visible as enemies of 9/11 truth, such as the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and of course the people like Daniel Pipes and those extremists like Kudnik neocons. How do you think we can encourage the sensible mainstream of the American Jewish community to support 9/11 truth?
Well, I believe that it is the way to get the Jewish organizations to engage into that is, first of all, to make it clear to the Jewish partner that the 9/11 movement is not at all seeking to demonize or to accuse Jews of anything. It is simply an attempt to get the establish the truth on a mass murder. And that it is the interest of Jewish organizations to participate in this quest for the truth, because eventually those who did it are only a small group of people who are criminals. And it doesn't matter really who these criminals are. They are not representing any nation, neither the Jews or nor Christians nor Americans. They are representing just a gang of criminals. So it is in the interest of Jews to dispel all these suspicions by participating in the quest for the truth.
Well, I agree completely. And there were some good Jewish contributors to the volume that I edited. That's called 9/11 and American Empire, Volume 2, Christians, Jews, and Muslims Speak Out. Rabbi Michael Lerner, the leading American progressive Jew, wrote a very, very good essay for that volume. And so there have been some notable contributions by Jewish Americans to the 9/11 truth movement, and let's hope there will be more. We do have a caller. It's Jeffrey from Kentucky on the line. Come on in, Jeffrey. How you doing? Hello, Jeffrey. Looks like we're having one of those slight, slow technical difficulty moments, but he'll be there shortly, I guess. Hello, Jeffrey.
You there?
Hey, yeah, you're coming in loud and clear. How you doing?
All righty. I am a postal worker, and I don't know if you guys are up on the information. Your guest probably isn't, since he's in Germany. That Obsession CD that you're talking about was put out by the Clarion Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are starting to mass mail them through the postal system now. So if you live anywhere in the United States, be prepared to get one in your mailbox.
Really?
Yes, sir. I just sent out, I would say about 500 yesterday, and there's a lot more today. The thing of it is, this Clarion Fund uses three main characters in the CD or in the DVD that are known to or are claimed to be 3X terrorists. And one of the main characters is a guy that goes by the name of Waleed Shubat. The hazard is the United States military at the military universities, whatever you want to call them, the citadels, have been parading these guys, three guys, around as ex-terrorists and basically paying them to come and talk in front of the military classes. Well, there's a gentleman working on fighting this because it's come to find out that these guys are not ex-terrorists. They come to find out that they are actually, I would say, what would you call Zionist Christians, if you want to call them that. I'm not really sure what to call them. But this gentleman's name is Mikey Weinstein. He goes, he runs the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Yeah, I've had him as a guest on my show. He's a good guy.
He's actually been, I'm helping him out, but he's been fighting this, so what seems to be a dominionist coup in the military since 9/11 happened. And,
right.
The problem is that this, Clarion Fund and these three ex-terrorists, fake ex-terrorists, if you want to call them that, have been tracked back to a group called, Council for National Policy. It was set up by, members like John Hagee and Tim LaHaye and Phyllis Schlafly. And these are the guys that are running this campaign to basically, it looks like, smear Muslims in the media.
Interesting. Well, those people are a bunch of extremist Christians, are they not?
Yes, they are actually using the times that we're in and what I think the elites have put out as the official story for 9/11 to further their agenda to dominate America in the extremist Christian version way, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, these people seem to be trying to start a religious war.
Yeah, that's what it seems to me, too. It seems like they're on the cusp of starting a religious war in not only in America, but also in the rest of the world. And we've actually had, I'm part of the military, we've actually had major generals give operations orders based on the Book of Revelation.
And cite
the causes or stress that you link to these same people I'm talking about for the Council for National Policy. So, Mikey Weinstein, with the help from military personnel who have experienced this fascist shift in the military, I have been bringing the fight to the DOD and trying to get this resolved, so to speak.
Okay, well, Elias, have you heard about this stuff, Mikey Weinstein and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation? And their...
No, I did not. I did not. And I had difficulties to understand this caller anyhow, but I did not. I never heard about this group, no.
Yeah, it's a very good group. It's called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, I think. And Mikey Weinstein is, he's gone around exposing some of this, this evangelical takeover of the U.S. military.
I understand.
And so the three supposed ex-terrorists that the caller is talking about are these people who, this whole story is bogus. You know, they come up and they say, well, we used to be terrorists working for the Palestinians or the Muslims or whatever, and then they tell horror stories about what that was like, and they do this to sort of brainwash the fundamentalist Christian soldiers in the U.S. military.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Weinstein is fighting against that. He's a Jewish guy who's had a family that's been in the Air Force for generations, and he's horrified by this Dominionist takeover of the U.S. military.
Yes, yes.
If your guests can understand me, I'm sorry, my phone's starting to get crappy. I'm on my route right now. But if you can get a hold of it, get a hold of look up the Council for National Policy, and we'll start tracing the lines of where a lot of this Islamophobia is coming from.
Okay, well, hey, I appreciate the tip, Jeffrey. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, take care. All right. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting avenue to pursue. I'm very curious to find out exactly who is behind this operation of distributing tens of millions of these Islamophobic DVDs to Americans. I find that just stunning that it's being done. This is an operation that must be costing, you know, $50 or $100 million.
Well, if you look at the budget of the American military and the American intelligence, that's peanuts.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and it's kind of frustrating because, you know, those of us in the 9/11 Truth Movement who've been using DVDs to get our message out have been working so hard, you know, buying blank DVDs and dubbing them and copying them and, you know, trying to pay the people who make them some and buy some from them. And it's very hard work, and we feel very like we've accomplished something if we've distributed a few thousand DVDs in a year. And here these people come along and just pump out tens of millions of Islamophobic DVDs. It's hard to compete with that.
Yes, it is true. I appreciate. I believe still that the only way to deal with lies. You see, the thing is that people who are lying usually are afraid of exposing themselves. Lying is the Achilles heel of the power. When you expose the lies, everything crumbles. So basically, honesty is our tool or our weapon is honesty and truth. And I think if we stick to honesty and truth, we will succeed.
All right. Well, I agree. I think speaking the truth gives you a lot of extra energy and moral force that can overcome advantages on the side that's speaking the lies.
Of course.
Okay, well, that's a good note to end our first hour on, but we'll be back very shortly after a quick top-of-the-hour break.
Tell me, should we continue?
We definitely should.
Have you any particular questions?
I would like to talk a little bit about some of the things you put up on your site, such as the U.S. military planning for resource wars, as well as...
Well, I'm not very, very familiar with this.
Okay. Well, tell me what to ask you, and I'll ask it. We'll have to do it after the break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. This is Kevin Barrett with Elias Davidson. Stick around.